Good day, and welcome to a special podcast that my honey kind of drew me into because we started talking about legacy. And legacy is a beautiful thing. It is what proceeds after you're gone. You may be somebody's legacy from prior years, or you may be creating a legacy. What a legacy is not is defined in Luke 12, 15 through 21, where it tells us that a legacy has nothing to do with wealth or even inherited possessions. Legacy is a spiritual thing that is brought forth. And so at this time, I'm going to ask that my honey talk about a person that she knew, and I'll just let her tell the story.
For a mother and a father, many times their legacy is their children. I was privileged to meet, only on one occasion that I remember, Dolores Hayford, the mother of Jack Hayford. And I read something today about how she had written even a book on, As For Me and My House, about bringing up children and that sort of thing. And I guess she even did lectures and stuff. But I knew her as a woman who supported the mission that my parents were involved in. And of course, she was privileged to be the mother of Jack Hayford and also her other two children, I found out. Well, one of them was a pastor also. And then her daughter was a missionary. Now, moving, and I was very impressed as I was in her presence. She was truly a virtuous woman, a Proverbs 31 woman. She said things to me that I would later understand as coming from the Lord, but I didn't know enough in those days to appreciate it as much as I realize now. Now, her son, of course, Jack Hayford, became very, very famous. And one might think of his huge church as being his legacy, the Church on the Way. And I'm sure that was part of it. And I believe he even started a Bible college. But every time I hear the song Majesty, I can't help but think of all the things that Jack Hayford left us, majesty is perhaps the greatest.
And in essence, a father and a mother, many times, their legacy is their children. Sometimes that's not true, but many of the times it is. I'd like my honey to continue with reading 2 Kings 2:4-14.
And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold your peace.
I want to insert here before she continues on. It's like everybody and their brother, at least among the ministers, knew that this was Elijah's last day on earth. I find that kind of amazing. What would we do if we knew that someone, today's your last day? And then you're going to see God. Wow.
And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And the two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they stood by Jordan. Now, notice the difference between Elisha and the sons of the prophets. They stood to view afar off. I remember how Moses looked to see when he saw the burning bush, and the Lord rewarded him for looking to see. So the thing is with Elisha, Elijah was trying to shake him, maybe to prove him, but he would not be shaken. He just clung on to him, as we say, as a puppy to a root. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground.
I want to insert something here. This scripture here just blows me away. The waters parted. They went over not on wet sand, but dry ground. Now, if you're any type of outdoors person whatsoever, you know it takes forever for something to dry out. But not in this case. God instantly dried the ground.
And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." And Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over.
This is a perfect example of God sending forth a legacy from a senior prophet to a prophet who desired to be as close to God as Elijah was. What a beauty. I want to share with you some more recent examples. And what I say by recent, I mean like from 1800 through the present time. The first one that I'd like to discuss is one of my favorite. Charles Spurgeon, theologian beyond credibility. This was a man of God who at 16 years of age accepted the Lord as his Savior. I don't know who led him to the Lord, but wow, what a legacy that person had who led Charles Spurgeon to the Lord. Because at the age of 16, he so committed his life unto the Lord that at the age of 17 years, he was given his first church to pastor. And that's how he started in London, pastoring, and also studying the word. He had no degrees from any university, but what he had was an incredible amount of teaching from the word of God, and most of all, his presence before the Lord. I remember a time where it spoke that when he finished preaching, and I read the sermon, I didn't think it was all that much, but in all honesty, it must have been, because when he finished preaching, it said that the whole congregation that was standing fell backward. What we call this today is being slain in the spirit. But no matter what the name was, the thing was with Charles Spurgeon, the presence of the Lord was so bountiful that the people couldn't even stand in the presence of the Lord. Don't mistake me, not in the presence of Charles Spurgeon, but in the presence of the Lord. Betsy, I think you've got this one that you want to share. Oh, wait, before you do, I almost forgot. He is best known for one of his sayings that I just love to no end. And it goes like this. What is discernment? Discernment is not knowing what's right from what's wrong. No. Discernment is what's knowing what is right against what is almost right. A lot of times that's how Satan tries to deceive us. He goes with almost right, but it's never the full truth. And God operates on the full truth. Now, Betsy, I'll let you continue.
We all know that George Bernard left us as a legacy the old rugged cross. And in fact, I heard a young man sing it just the other day. But what you may not know, that I know, is that he also left us with another fine man of God called Charles Wesley Smith, and he was my father. Now, when George Bernard was preaching, he was not preaching at a great auditorium. No, he was preaching at a rescue mission. And my dad tells the story of how he dragged his vermin-infested body and knelt at an altar of prayer at a Salvation Army. And there he met Jesus. And now I would say that I'm part of his legacy, along with many works that the Lord led my father to be involved in.
Amen. So, did Charles Bernard know that when he was preaching at this rescue mission, that he'd be leading another great preacher to the Lord? No, but God knew. God knew beforehand. And that's the beauty of it. Another one that we talk about all the time is, honey?
Dottie Rambo. She's somewhat like, if we're allowed to have heroes or heroines in this world, she would be one of mine. And she wrote so many wonderful Holy Spirit-inspired songs. Now, I suspect that she probably wanted to be on the road all the time. But physical ailments kept her much enclosed and away from being on the road traveling. And so she wrote so many wonderful songs while she was alone with God.
They say approximately 2,000 songs.
And one of the more beautiful ones she wrote was, Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. And the story behind that was that she was visiting in Moscow, and she realized that many, many people were not welcoming Jesus there. They weren't allowed to. But she said, Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. And now we sing it today.
Amen. One of my favorite songs. Holy Spirit, You're so welcomed in this place. And as Betsy and I sit here doing this podcast, Holy Spirit, oh, you are welcomed in this place. Another young lady, her name is Audra Sherwood. She and her husband live on the Grand Roads reservation, because her husband is an American native. And it is such a blessing. She just touched my heart. I know she's impacting that community more than anyone else. But one day when I was going, Lord, Betsy and I have never had any children. What is our legacy going to be? We've had many spiritual children. We've ministered to so many, and we're still friends with them today as they're adults having their children, and in some cases, grandchildren. And one day, Audra, I guess out of the impartment from the Holy Spirit, said to me, "Pastor Tice, you have nothing to worry about. I'm your legacy." It hit me. Yes, I do have a legacy. Betsy does have a legacy. This woman of God is powerful, and she might not come off as a forceful preacher, but she ministers to so many people with such a gentleness of heart that many have come to know the Lord as their Lord and Savior, not just a God afar. Another person who we are his legacy is Kenny Foreman. And honey, what would you like to say about Kenny Foreman?
Well, I would like to say that we didn't know about the Holy Spirit that much until,
Hardly nothing.
you're right, until we went and we were led to go to Pastor Foreman's church. And I personally received assurance of my salvation, which changed the course of my whole life from a word of knowledge that he gave to me.
In my situation, when we first went to his church, it was the church in Willow Glen. When we first went to his church, he hadn't built the big cathedral yet. It was in the building process. But when we went in there, I'll tell you, the church just baffled me because it had like 25% white, 25% Black, 25% Asian, 25% Mexican. It was a mixture of people like I've never seen before. Getting along. This doesn't happen in many communities. It really didn't even happen in the San Jose community that we lived in. But in this church, they were all, because we were all of one family, and that was the family of God. And when he began to minister, he stepped away from the pulpit. Me being the son of a Baptist preacher, said that that is intolerable. You never step away from the pulpit. But he stepped away and pointed at me and said, "You, sir, had better get right with God." That was my introduction. And from that, I became one of his many, many, many legacies because I was compelled to go forth, preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What is your legacy? What is my legacy? What is Betsy's legacy? Only God can truly determine that. But if you're close to Him, He's creating legacies for you. Betsy, 1 Corinthians 1, excuse me. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 1, 11, excuse me. My eyesight isn't great, and sometimes I miss a number here. Go ahead, sweetheart.
1 through 2 from the Living Bible. And you should follow my example just as I follow Christ. I am so glad, dear brothers, that you have been remembering and doing everything I taught you. And you may be listening to this today, and it's possible that, especially if you're from one of the places where we ministered, like Willows and Corning, that you're part of our legacy.
And the thing is, I want each of you to know, as it says here, dear brothers, and that includes sisters, you have been remembering and doing everything that we taught you. My desire for you is that you go forth and create a legacy as you walk in the path that God has ordained for you. God bless you and go with you this day. God bless.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. And I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it